Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, February, or February the 8th, however you would like to say it. 17 minutes past the hour, and we've got 2 hours of great programming for you here today. Also, the Adam the Computer Guy show today from 2:10 until 3 p.m., and Voice of a People with Linda Sims today, 4:10 until 5 p.m. You know what's driving me nuts? The other night, I made some baklava, which I thank George Kasotis for giving me the recipe many, many years ago for the baklava that he makes, and I like to make the baklava Sundays. So Sunday night, I was making the baklava, and I was taking it out of the oven. Now, you have to place it in the center of the oven. And as I was taking it out of the oven, I bumped my hand on the rack above the rack that the baklava was on. And to be honest with you, I thought that I had burned myself because obviously the oven was hot, 350 degrees, and it had been on for about an hour. But it didn't really hurt. It didn't feel like a burn, so I thought, well, maybe I have just brushed it, and no big deal, and life goes on. Well, yesterday, this discoloration, and I guess it's a burn is what you would call it, started to appear on the top of my right hand. Now, it's not bad at all, and it's not a blister or anything like that. It's just a little, you know, area, looks like a burn, where you've run it into something that was kind of warm. But every time I see my hand now, I see this little burn mark on it. And isn't it funny? It doesn't hurt or anything like that, but isn't it funny how something like that will drive you nuts? There, and this has always been a funny thing to me. These are the things I think about. You know, we had a caller last week who said they always send flowers to a funeral when somebody dies. And I said, well, why do we send flowers? Well, wonder how that all got started. And I think the caller said something, why do you question everything? I don't know why I question everything. There are just certain things that I always think about that maybe other people don't think about. I think, well, why do we do that? Why did it get that way? I guess I'm just a curious person. But the curiosity with this burn is, because this burn is on my hand, and the top of my hand, nonetheless, I see it all the time. You know, you don't cover your hands up with anything. You know, sometimes if you have a cut or something on your arm, in the winter you have long sleeves on so you don't see it. If you have a cut or a burn on your back, you don't see that unless you look in a mirror. Really, if you have anything on your face, you don't see it unless you look in a mirror. But your hand is in front of you all the time. So you constantly see it. So maybe you obsess about things on your hands more than anywhere else on your body, even though it doesn't hurt and it's not doing anything. I just thought I would share that with you this morning as we kicked off the program. Now, there are a few things this morning that I wanted to talk about because I had a fun day yesterday, by the way, and I want to say to Phyllis Shirk, who sent over the lemon pie, the delicious lemon pie, and we've got to come up with a name for this because it is really not a lemon pie. If you call it a lemon pie, people will get the wrong idea because I had a piece of lemon pie last week, and this is so much better than a lemon pie. I had the lemon dessert last night, and it was so good. As a matter of fact, it was kind of fun. It was not watery at all and certainly totally edible. Last night, I had a little get-together at my house because it was somebody's birthday, and there were four of us there, and I think three of us had the dessert as well as a little bit of the baklava sundaes that I had left over from Sunday. And everybody loved and raved about the lemon dessert. as well as the baklava sundaes. So it was a good night last night for desserts. Now, here was a problem I ran into last night, though, which is kind of interesting. The reason the fourth person did not have any desserts was because they are a diabetic and did not want to eat a lot of sugary things that late in the evening. It was probably after 8 o'clock when we finally got down and ate the desserts. Now, what do you do when somebody comes over and you don't really think? I mean, if I had thought about it, I might have had something there. But a lot of times, diabetics will go ahead and eat whatever you have anyway. So what do you do in that situation? Is that the host problem, that you don't have anything for the diabetic person? Or is that the diabetic person's problem for not bringing something with them when they knew there was going to be a dessert? I don't know how that works. What is the etiquette there? We need Lizzie Post to let us know what the etiquette is. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I do want to let you know, a good time was had by all, so I certainly do appreciate the four people who came over last night and the fun that we had, and Phyllis for giving us a great dessert to enjoy at the get-together last night, the little birthday party. Now, something else I wanted to bring up this morning. I passed by the Del Taco again, where they're going to put Del Taco next to Perkins over there. And I hope Del Taco opens up and makes a bazillion dollars. I hope they do well. But I'm looking this morning, and there really is not a lot of space there. Again, this is just a curious thing to me. I'm curious as to what it will be like when they open. And I don't know how soon it'll be when they open. I can't imagine it would be too much longer, because they're coming along pretty good there. Probably in the spring, I would think they would probably be set to open. But I was looking behind the Del Taco, and it doesn't look like there's any more land back there than there was before when U.S. Gold and Radio Shack were there. So in the end result, I really don't know what they're going to do when it comes to parking for the employees, parking for the customers, or drive-through traffic. And I think the light there is going to be a problem. But we'll find out when everything finally opens up. Okay. Any opinion? 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if there's anything on your mind today. Any new interesting things to talk about here in Marion? You know, I was looking at the paper this morning, and the paper, I guess for about 6 months now, I think it's been, has been profiling certain people in the area who are in jobs. And I think that's great. But you know what I wish they would do? I wish they would profile maybe like the janitors of schools. Do they even call them janitors anymore? I think it's custodians. And I wish they would maybe profile some of the people at the hospital. Not the doctors, but the nurses who come in every day. You know, people like that who don't get much recognition, but we certainly need their help. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott. As far as your hand goes, you could have Angie get you some concealer and put some concealer on it, and then you won't see it.
Put a little makeup on it?
Yeah.
I might have to do it. Well, do things like that drive you nuts when you see them all the time?
If I burn my tongue or I have a sore on my lip or something like that, yeah, it just drives me nuts. I'm constantly messing with it, and then it takes forever to heal.
Well, and it's funny, because if this burn were up on my arm today because I have long sleeves on, I would never look at it, and I would never pay it any attention. But because it's on my hand, which is constantly in front of my face, I see it all the time.
Yeah, well, it's a reminder of don't do that again.
Don't do that again. Yeah, I don't know how I did it in the first place. Thank goodness it didn't hurt.
Yeah, and for your diabetic friend, I know as I don't know if you want to call me an ex-diabetic or a diabetic, but over the years, I learned, I was never much of a dessert person anyway, but I learned that it never bothered me if somebody sat around and eat pie or lemon dessert or whatever. I mean, you could always keep some sugar-free stuff around the house, I mean, you know, and offer them that, but, I mean, as far as I go, as far as me, it never bothered me. I just drink a cup of coffee or something.
Well, I guess the etiquette in it for me is if you offer somebody something, no matter what the reason, let's just say somebody had eaten last night and they just were full and didn't want any dessert. If they say, no thank you, but I appreciate you offering it to me, is that where it ends for them?
Yes.
Or, okay, see, that's what I think. But
they politely refused it. You offered, they politely refused it. So you just go on.
But if you are a diabetic, do you tell them that's the reason you're refusing it? Because, see, it's a little different if you're full. If you're full and say, I'm just not going to have any more, the person never really knows why you don't want any. But if you tell them you're a diabetic, well, maybe they did want it. They just can't.
Well, then, you know, that depends. Like, I know as far as me, it would depend on who was offering it to me. I mean, if it was somebody I didn't, you know, really know all that well, I might just tell them, you know, no, thank you. I'm a diabetic. I can't have that stuff. And then most of the people that I know, they know I'm a diabetic, so they usually don't even offer it to me unless they're just being nice because they know I'm not going to take it.
Well, it's funny because I have noticed as of late that people really do pay attention to your eating habits. Not too long ago, because I like to go out and eat just as much as the next person, but I had had something to eat earlier in the day because I did not know I was going to go out and eat that night. But when the person called and said, let's go out and eat, I thought, okay, well, I like to visit with that person. I'll go out and eat. So I went out with them and I didn't get as much food as they got, which normally I would because I wouldn't have eaten. And when I got a little amount of food, it almost seemed like they didn't want to eat that much food, and they thought I was being peculiar, different, because I wasn't eating a big amount of food, when the reason just was that I didn't know that I was going to be doing that, and I'd already eaten earlier in the evening. And then, like last night, I went out to eat a dinner with somebody before I went back home, and I knew I had these desserts at home, and I knew these people were coming over for the birthday party, and I thought, well, I really don't want to eat a lot of dinner here about 6 o'clock because I know I want to get into this lemon dessert of Phyllis's, and I know I want to have some of the baklava sundae. And the person thought that was odd that I wasn't eating as much.
Did you explain it to them?
Well, you know, it seems easy enough to turn to them and just say what I just said, but it's really not that easy, honestly, because when you turn around to say that, then they get like, well, let's just not go out and eat altogether then if you're not hungry. That's what you get. It's like at the end of a meal when you're leaving the tip, which is one of my major pet peeves, when people fight over who's going to leave the tip or who's going to pay the bill. Whoever touches it first, just let them have it, and if you're really embarrassed that they're buying it for you, invite them out next time and make it very clear it's my treat.
Yeah, usually when I go out to eat, I generally pay. I just tell them before the meal starts, I'm buying.
Right, but have you ever noticed how uncomfortable that gets, and it makes the server very uncomfortable because they've got tables to wait on, and here you've got people trying to hand you money. You know, I've seen it get to the point where the person says, well, just put it all on one bill, I'm going to pay it all, and they hand them the card, and the other person's going, oh, no, don't do that, and they're going into their wallet, pulling out cash, pulling out their card, and, you know, the server, it makes them very uncomfortable. Watch their face sometimes.
Well, yeah, well, if you want to have some real fun, when the server comes up and you're with a group of people and they say, is this all on one check or separate, look at them and say, we're together separately.
Yeah, you can confuse the servers.
Yeah. They don't know what to do then.
Like I said, you think it's easy in the moment to explain things, but it's really not, because I think it hampers people. Because
yeah,
then
I've had situations like that. I just tell them, you know, I'll pay this time, you can pay next time.
Well, yeah, and that's how it should be, but some people are, I wonder what that means in people's mind when other people pick up the bill. Why is that such a bad thing? I mean, I'll let them pick up the bill.
I don't know. I mean, if they feel that strongly about it, I'd be like, well, you know, just give me whatever your stuff came to. I mean, if I paid the bill and they feel that strongly about it, well, they could just pay me for what they ate instead of paying the restaurant.
Yeah, it's an odd thing.
I know, people are funny.
Well, it is, because, you know, when somebody says, I'm full, and that's why I'm not eating dessert, well, then you don't think twice about it. But when somebody says, I'm diabetic, well, then you feel like you're eating in front of them.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the way society is. But like I said, over the years, it just doesn't bother me. I'll just sit there and drink a cup of coffee and watch them eat.
Well, and normally the diabetic doesn't care.
No, because they're used to it. I mean, they know they shouldn't have sweet stuff. I mean, every once in a while, diabetic, yeah, they'll crack under the pressure. I know I do. Crack under the pressure, and I'll eat something sweet, but I try to do it early in the day. Not at night.
Well, you know, this leads me into another topic that I was going to talk about this morning, is that I was watching a show last night. Alan Alda was on the show, and I think a lot of people remember him from MASH. And he's recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how people only see life for tomorrow and yesterday, that they worry about what happened yesterday, and they can't let it go, and they're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, so that alters their opinion today. And he said, really, all we have is today, because you can't fix tomorrow or yesterday, and tomorrow is not promised to anybody.
That's true. That's why people say that, you know, they can't believe the year's going by so fast. Well, they're not living in the present. That's why the year looks like it goes by so fast, because they're not living day to day. They don't pay attention to what's going on around them at that moment.
Well, it's interesting, because if somebody came to you and said you have 10 days to live, well, how do you know somebody else doesn't have 10 days to live? Do you spend the 10 days worrying about that?
Nope.
Right.
I have too many things to do.
Right, you want to get everything in and enjoy those 10 days, but some people's mindset is, oh, that's so depressing.
Oh, yeah, they just freeze up, and then nothing gets done, and they waste their 10 days.
Well, and I think a lot about this in the summer, but I should think about it in the winter as well. You know, we don't spend enough time sitting out on the porch, watching the cars go by, going out to restaurants and staying past the meal. You know, sitting and talking, having a cup of coffee, tea, hot chocolate, diet soda, whatever it is, and just talking. We seem to be there for the event. The food, checked out. Go out on the porch, dust it off, back inside, back in front of the television, done. We don't stop and enjoy anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, I spend lots of time out on the deck watching traffic go down the road. I love doing that.
Well, and your mind wanders, and you start to think about other things, and it really is a joyful time, because if anybody calls and asks you to do something, you are free, but yet you're rested as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's interesting. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, phone lines are open. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, here's also my public service announcement for today. And I've said this a lot on this station, but I think it bears repeating again. We have to start listening to other people's opinions. We have a tendency in society, for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, we want to be around people and go around people who have similar opinions to us. Now, that's fine, but wouldn't you rather be around somebody who had a different opinion? That way, you might learn something. Now, not that you're going to agree with them, but you might learn something. People tend to make up their minds about things long before they ever hear what other people have to say. A matter of fact, I'm not even sure you can change anybody's mind anymore. Because people are so dug in about their beliefs. It's interesting. And I'm not talking about spiritual beliefs or anything like that. I'm really not even talking about political beliefs. I'm just talking about beliefs about life in general. That this is the way it should be done. And you can't change me. And I'm going to surround myself with people who think exactly the way I do. And that way all will be okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's the best thing. I think sometimes being around somebody who thinks exactly the opposite of you is good because you might hear something that you would not hear from somebody who totally agrees with you. I don't know. What do you think about this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. And I do want to mention again, as I say, with those articles in the Marion Star, I hope that they, and maybe they have and I just haven't seen it, but I hope they start doing some custodians, some nurses, maybe people, waitresses, servers, I think they call them now. They don't call them waitresses anymore. Maybe bank tellers, people who work at Walmart, you know, checkers. Profile those people. Those are the people I think it'd be interesting to learn about. I always think that's the forgotten population in society. We hear a lot about the people who are out front. We hear a lot about the managers and the owners of businesses and things like that. But we never hear about these people who are running the checkout counter at Walmart. We don't hear about the bank tellers. We don't hear about people like that. I don't know why. It'd be nice to do a profile on them. Learn about the people who make this city go. Sanitation workers would be a good one. I'd like to learn about them. You know, it's interesting. A lot of times we talk about police and fire, and we certainly should talk about police and fire because they're very important. But if the sanitation didn't get picked up, we would be in a bigger pickle than I think even the lack of police and fire for most people. So, you know, when you think about it big picture, I think we have to start paying better attention to people who get things done every day or every week. People who deliver your mail. That would be an interesting profile. Does anybody have a thought on this? 740-383-9944. I saw the health inspections were in the newspaper again yesterday for the restaurants. I'm never sure. I didn't even get a chance to read them, to be honest. I just saw that they were in there. I don't know if this is good or bad. I'm still split down the middle on this because I think it's good that people get to know what's going on in their community. But then again, I think it's bad because anybody can walk in to a restaurant in a bad moment, and publishing it in the newspaper might hurt their business. So I'm not sure. I'm still split on the health inspections. How do people feel about those being in the newspaper? 740-383-9944. And you never really get to explain why you got a bad health inspection. You know, it's not like in the paper, once they list your business and they put what code you violated, it doesn't say what the excuse was. Or I don't even want to call it an excuse. What the reason was that this code was broken. So hopefully, hopefully it doesn't hurt the businesses too bad. I don't think it hurts them too badly because I've never heard of any business closing because of it. And a lot of times we see the big businesses having problems with the health inspections. But yet they go on. So I guess that's a good thing. All right. Well, I think that's all I have in regard to questions this morning. Is there anything on your mind out there? 740-383-9944 on this Tuesday, February the 8th, 2022. 41 coming up on 42 minutes past the hour. Also, does anybody have any more input on the etiquette thing? If you have somebody who's diabetic coming to a party, if you go out to eat with somebody, who pays the tip? I think these are questions that we all face from time to time. So it's interesting to talk about them and see what other people's opinions are. Which kind of comes back to the central opinion of this morning. We need to listen to other people's opinions, not just what we believe. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Well, just as well as I could be.
That's good to hear.
Why, Scott, I think the gentleman that just answered the question on the diabetic thing there, I think he done a wonderful job. You know what I love about the show?
What's that?
All the people that tell and call in about things, you know, they hit the nail on the head pretty well. Most of them have had the experience, and somebody that's had the experience and stuff can tell just like that gentleman did. Who else would you want to talk to, anybody, if they're offended about the diabetic and stuff? And I think everybody I listen to on this show, buddy, they do a wonderful job. But anyhow, I had it right here on top of my head. How did you know when I answered a question yesterday and you said, don't Google it because I'm going to know, what part of the letter in frog did you know that they was going to be Googling that? Would that have been the last of the R?
Well, what, usually you can tell when people are Googling something is when everybody is getting it wrong or guessing really good answers, and then all of a sudden a person comes along and they have the answer right on the top of their head and it's the first time they've called in. Usually you know that they've Googled it.
Oh, now how about me?
I did not think that you had Googled it, no.
Well, no, because I'm just starting to learn what the word Google means, you know. No, it's a quick resource to whatever subject you're on. You can Google it. But you know what? Some of the old-time questions, Google hasn't got that.
Well, you know what's funny is years ago when I used to host Quickie Quiz on WMRN, this was before everybody had a cell phone and Google, and a lot of times you would ask a question, and if it was a hard question, it would go quite a while. You might go 10 or 15 minutes taking calls and getting the wrong answer. But now I've noticed that if you have a really hard question and it goes like 10 or 15 minutes, people get agitated at home. And they'll Google it, and they'll call you just so you'll go on to the next thing. I find that interesting.
Yeah, and you know how I come to that question, or they that answer?
How's that?
When we moved out here, we had a spice rack, and I moved all that stuff out here, put it up here. But when I started putting it up here, some of that stuff been in the spice rack for, you know, very embarrassing, maybe 10 years, and so on and so forth. And so I don't have many spices. But during that period of time, for some unknown reason, I would read them, and I just wonder what this is for and what's that for. Well, I do most of all of it, the cooking and stuff now. I have for 30 years and stuff without that stuff. And I thought, you know, I only got a few things in that spice rack. And one stuck out in my brain for I have no reason. And I told Carol, she's right there beside me, and I said, hey, I'm going to say ginger. And I said, what do you think about that, being a spice in that kind of category? And she said, I don't think so. And I said, the letter's right. So I just blurted it out and daggone, didn't hit the jackpot.
You hit the jackpot. pot, and we were running out of time yesterday. I didn't think we were going to get it.
Yeah, and I had a good fun with that question there, as you know. But it was one of those things that come up that, who would a guy like me? I do a lot of cooking and stuff as far as I don't touch the dessert part, because that was another thing I was going to bring up to you if I got a couple of minutes to talk to you.
Sure.
We had a thing going on the radio there about recipes and stuff. My goodness, after my mother died and stuff, and go through this stuff, I bet you she'd have, I wouldn't even put it by me, she'd have 1,000 recipes, and I'd go through them, and I enjoyed them, and I kept the ones my mother wrote with her handwriting. So.
Well, those were the good ones. The one they actually hand wrote down, and they would have ingredient stains on the card.
Yeah, but the reason I kind of stayed away from it now, my goodness, you couldn't have all the ingredients in your household, and I go to down the grocery store, I see the spice racks, and that stuff is very expensive. And you use a little dab here, a little dab there, and that, the real recipes and some of the stuff that come out of scratch, you know. That was an art doing that, you know, and then you have to measure everything. And I've tried recipes, and I've come out, my wife said, buddy, you've done a good job on that. But if you just mess up the hair on that ingredient, you haven't got a wonderful product like Phyllis has got. She's a hand at that, and there's many and many and many women. But at this day and age, that many and many has trickled down that there isn't as many. I don't believe. I'm not taking away from any young woman at all. But that was just a trade that you learned from your mother and your older friends and stuff like that that really hits your jackpot with the younger people like yourself.
I think you're right. I think it's 100% right.
Well, I got a few other things sometime, but I'm not saving them. I want to save them up for all one day. Thanks, Scott. Hey. I'll catch up with you later.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, again, phone lines are open. If the lines are ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on calling in. We enjoy hearing from you out there. 49 minutes past the hour, and as I've always said, I like having open phone line discussions. I like hearing what other people have to say, so as long as the phones keep ringing, we will keep doing this. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz and we can talk about whatever is on your mind. The cooking thing is always interesting to talk about because there is a difference, and I'm not even sure I want to say it's just women, because men could cook if they wanted to. Nobody really cooks like people used to. And what I mean by that, because I'm sure it's been ever-changing throughout time, is people don't really use spices. People don't really put things together like they used to. It's pretty basic. You know, people used to add stuff to just about everything to make it taste better. Now, it's pretty basic. You know, it's shake and bake. It's mashed potatoes, put some butter in it, and that's good to go. People used to add things to those dishes that would make them taste better, richer. And I'm not really sure what happened over the years that caused that. You can see it a lot in the desserts. Desserts are the big one. Because most desserts, you still have to put together several ingredients. And you can definitely tell that people do not take the time and effort with desserts that they used to. And maybe it's people are busy. I don't know. I don't know how people got so busy. Maybe it's the cell phone. But it's very interesting how that's changed over the years. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Why do you think this has all changed as time has went on, as it keeps on trucking down the path? 51 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio Time. Do want to let everybody know there's going to be free Narcan training, which includes a free Narcan kit on Tuesday, February 22nd at 6 p.m. McKinley Elementary School, 925 Chatfield Road, right here in Marion. That'll be Tuesday, February the 22nd. Go ahead, caller. We lost our, let's hope, if that's you, call back in. We had a caller there, but we had a phone malfunction. If that's you, give us a call back, 740-383-9944. All right, here we go. Hopefully the second time is the charm. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I wanted to comment on the diabetic thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
It really depends on how your diabetes is controlled, whether you can eat the sweets or not, really. If you control it by pills, you know, you got to be a lot more careful of, you know, eating sweets or overeating or something like that. If you control it by insulin, there's three types of insulin. You got a slow-acting insulin, a fast-acting insulin, and then you have an insulin that has both of them combined. Now, if you're taking the one that has both combined, you know, you still got to be careful. But if you're taking a slow-acting insulin and a fast-acting insulin like I do, I take the same amount of the slow-acting every time, every day. But the fast-acting insulin, I can adjust to what I eat.
Now, what do you think people's biggest mistake is when it comes to the sweets? Diabetics.
Well, I don't know. They probably eat too much of them. Even though I can give myself more insulin, I very seldom ever eat much sweets at all at one time. If I do, I'll give myself a shot of insulin because I know it's going to affect it. But
well, you know, what's interesting to me, my grandfather was really the only diabetic in the family, my immediate family, and he just took the pills. He wasn't even on the insulin shots. And when he found out he was diabetic, which I don't think he found out till he was in his 40s or 50s, he really cut out the sugar. Now, he would still eat the starches, but he cut out the sugar, anything that he went to diet soda. He would not eat cakes. He would not eat pies. He would only eat sugar-free candy. But if he was at a birthday party, I always remember this, if he was at a birthday party and they gave him a piece of cake, he would scrape the icing off and he would eat the cake because he did not want to be rude at the birthday party. And, I think what's happening is people are closet eating at home. They're eating so much sugar at home that when they're out, they don't want to eat anymore because they know they've already eaten a ton.
Yeah, the starch, you know, that plays a big difference in it too. You know, if I eat something that has a lot of starch in it, you know, I know I'll have to give myself more insulin. I don't like very seldom ever eat bread. Matter of fact, when I buy a sandwich, I get rid of one, you know, either the top or bottom.
Well, isn't that funny, though, how people, diabetics, don't equate, most diabetics, don't equate starch to being a sugar product, but they equate sugar to being a sugar product? Like, they won't get the ice cream, but they'll order the sandwich with the bread and the ketchup on it.
Yeah, and that's almost worse than a little bite of a brownie or something.
Yeah, it's funny how that I've noticed that over the years that most
that turns into sugar.
Yeah, I've noticed that most people who are diabetic never they don't see it the same way. They for some reason they equate diabetes with sugar. And sugar is ice cream and cakes and pies and that sort of thing. And lasagna and spaghetti and hamburgers and buns are a different thing. And it's odd to me. I don't know. But I appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we did have somebody else who was trying to get in there. We do have a little bit of time here. Give us a buzz. A myriad of topics here this morning on WWGH Radio. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We'd love to hear from you here this morning on WWGH Radio. A ton of topics, as I said. We're talking about diabetic etiquette. If you're a diabetic or you're around a diabetic, how should you handle things? Let's see here. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I love cookbooks. And you know, if you think about it, if you read a cookbook, there's no dishes, no groceries to buy, and you're satisfied your sweet tooth.
That's true.
Yeah, and you just sit there in a chair, and you go through this, and there's no dishes to do or whatever, and obviously no calories. So you can even read the recipes for the pies and the cakes and everything. Satisfy your sweet tooth, no dishes, no extra calories.
Do you think, have you seen a lot of cookbooks any longer? I see them in magazines. I see a lot of recipes in magazines. But do you see many cookbooks anymore?
No, and I love those ones that organizations would put together, you know, local ladies would put together, because you can kind of almost relate with their area with what they cook. And another thing, Scott, I get so tired of hearing people say, I don't have time. Well, we got 24 hours on that clock, just like we've always had 24 hours on that clock. When I was doing laundry with the wringer washer and hanging clothes on the clothesline, bringing them in, and ironing them, putting them away. Well, now we throw them in, push a button, throw them next, push a button, and then half the time they lay in the dryer, nobody even folds them up.
Well, you know what? It's funny you bring that up, because I know somebody who every time there's something that they miss, it always comes after the event has been missed. And somebody will say, hey, we missed you at that particular event. And the person will go, I was working. That's always their standard answer. I was working. And sometimes I think, now wait a second. I went to that event, and that event was at like 7 o'clock at night. And you work first shift. Now, nobody's working 24 hours a day. Now, they'll say they worked over, but do they really remember on that date if they worked over or not? And you also know that the person has days off a week, and a lot of times they just don't leave the house. But they don't feel comfortable saying that.
Well, I always keep saying, what do you do with your 24 hours?
Right.
You go to bed at night, you say, well, what did I do with my 24 hours? And, you know, in those 24 hours is when we used to teach kids how to fold laundry, how to put their clothes in, how to start out making their breakfast and so forth, and talking to them. You know, I always said the best communication was washing and drying dishes. Well, nobody does that anymore. So when people talk about their communication and all their friends and so forth, they're just kidding themselves. If they'd turn the TV off and shut the phone off for 12 hours, they would be surprised what they gained and what they didn't miss.
Well, and in my life, you know, working several jobs, and I've always done that, I can't just go and get out of something. I can't just say I'm not coming. But people seem to think that I can, because I do show up at a lot of things. Well, I just plan it. If somebody invites me to something and it's in conflict with one of my jobs, my two solutions are is I'll say, well, let me see if I can get off that day or maybe leave a little early. But if I can't, would it be okay if I came later? Would it be okay if the event could be held later? Could we eat a little later? People don't do that because the truth is they really don't want to come. They want to sit at home on their cell phone, and they want to sit in their pajama pants, and they want to sit in their jogging pants, and they don't want to go out. But they don't want to say that, so it's, I'm working.
Well, a lot of times, and no one wants to admit it, but people are just, they're addicted to the TV, and they're addicted to their their computers and their phones, which means they're sitting idle someplace.
Well, I did not plan to tell this story on the air, but maybe you'll have a solution for this. Later on this week, there's something I have to go to where I cannot wear. This is going to be the oddest story on the air, because I'm not going to tell people what it is, but people will get the gist. There's something I have to go to that was an appointment later on this week where I can't wear a belt or jeans. I can't wear anything that's got metal on it. And the way I set up the appointment, I'm coming directly from work. And I'm not going to wear sweatpants to work. A matter of fact, I don't know if there's a dress code at some of my jobs. Nobody's ever hit me with a dress code. But I'm not going to wear sweatpants. But I've got like 20 minutes, because I plugged it all in there, to get from work to this appointment. And what am I going to do?
I bet you'll figure it out.
You do, though. That's what I'm saying. You do. Mm-hmm. And that's that's one of those adjustments. I'm not calling off work. I'm not going to cancel the appointment.
Mm-hmm.
But there clearly is going to be an issue there.
Yeah, but you'll figure it out. But I say how, you know, all these time-saving things, well, what do you do with that time? You know, sometimes I will think about that. Gosh, I had, like the other day when we snowed in, wasn't going anyplace, I thought, well, what did I do today? I did clean out some drawers. I do tell you that. I did clean out some drawers. But people do not utilize their 24 hours at all. And I've often thought it'd be kind of nice if it was a challenge of if they took away, you know, people volunteered to be in this study to do away with cell phones and the computer at home, and see how much brighter-eyed the kids were in the morning than they are now. You know. But it's a babysitter, just like TV was when my kids were little. It's a babysitter.
Well, before we go to break here, here's another thing that I've noticed, and this is an interesting topic, and maybe we'll come back and talk some more next hour about this, because I'm sure other people have something to say. But isn't it funny, did you ever notice when you did have an event or you had something that you invited somebody to, that they used to say, well, you know, let me see if I can make time for that. Let me see if I can fit that in. Now, there's not even an attempt. And I think the reason there's not an attempt is that people don't want to communicate. People don't want to conversate. People don't want to be around other people. Now, they don't mind sitting there on the cell phone talking to them. They don't mind calling them on the phone and say, what are you doing? But they don't want to be in the room with them, because that takes getting dressed and going out and driving somewhere and being active. And I think that's a big problem right now.
Well, Scott, you think about it. Every piece of furniture that you would go buy is a recliner. Now, when people come to my house, I really don't want to set them up that they're going to be that comfortable. I want them to be able to sit up and carry on a conversation. And it's hard to find a piece of furniture that's not a recliner.
You said it. Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to break. If you want to call in and talk about this subject, hold on to it for 15 minutes, and we'll be back with more.
Church that is very, very much focused on outreach and reaching outside of the church and loving those around us. Our service times are at 10:30 on Sunday morning and Bible school hours at 9:30.